When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Host the NFC title game. Of course, you can get to a Super Bowl without doing that. But the easiest path, and that is what I would be seeking if I were the 49ers, the easiest path to the Super Bowl is obviously hosting the NFC title game. How do you do that? And again, Tom Brady feels old to me. Conceptually, it is the wrong time to be buying into the Tom Brady business. It's also the perfect time based on the timeline to win it all is now. Here it is. This is it. This is it. Do you want to risk careers not winning a Super Bowl on the further development of Trey Lance or Brock Purdy coming off a surgery, or just cast your die finally with Tom Brady? To me, I would take that risk. I really would. And there's another reason, Ray, other than all that we have already put out on the table. Do you realize what a headache Tom Brady's been having in his life for the last 12 months? I mean, you and I, the one thing that we try to come back to in a lot of our conversations is these guys are not machines. They are humans. And that was, hands down, no debate to even have, the most distracted, pulled in other directions Tom Brady as we've ever seen. Coming home might be good for him. Might really settle down the sense of my family's been a little lost by being closer to his parents once again, bringing his kids back to the Bay Area. If that's something that could be in the cards that would make him happier, his kids going to what, Sarah High School? I don't know. Maybe all that would be exactly what the doctor ordered for him mentally. Again, I don't know Tom Brady. I don't know these things, but I see these as merits, not demerits.
First, Brady can't afford tuition at Sarah.
Touche.
Yeah. Secondly, that would have to be a Brady decision, not a 49er decision. Is it worth him taking a haircut in terms of salary? That's also a Brady decision. But I tend, without knowing anything about how his inner mind works, not the one he shows us, but his inner mind,
as opposed to the outer mind.
Well, no, but you know what I'm saying.
I know.
The truth is, I don't see Tom Brady saying, I'll play there for less, when there are other teams saying, well, we'll pay you more. Because I think Tom Brady, in some ways, has shown that, hey, I can go to a bad team and make it really good, because he did it in Tampa.
Oh, but that was a really good day he arrived Tampa Bay team.
No, but
that was the best option for him to go to.
But 2 years earlier, that was a bad team. And it was still not a complete team when he first got there, because they added guys after they signed him.
Right. And in year two, they won a Super Bowl.
So he could conceivably, and don't laugh, I'm just using this as a hypothetical, he could conceivably look at the offensive guys that the Raiders have and say, I can make them dynamic. I can coach this team in ways that Josh McDaniel can't, and then all they really have to do is fix the defense.
Great. He's also going to rush the passer and play corner and slot nickel?
No, but I'm saying if this turns into a bidding war, the 49ers can forget the hometown discount. Let me finish.
Right, no, I know what you're about to say.
It's a practical matter, to the point where the least you could pay him is the 25 he made last year. And if you want to, you know, commit most of the benefits of the cap going up to that, while you still have contracts outstanding, particularly Nick Bosa, I mean, how much cap strangulation do you have to endure? Which brings me to my next point, which is, if you bring in Brady, as a simple matter of math, you almost have to find a place to trade Trey Lance and his $9 million a year.
We'll talk about that in a minute. This is Gabriel in Napa Valley. What's going on, Gabriel? You're on with Damon and Ratto.
Hey, fellas. Tom Brady is available. Tom Brady wants to come to San Francisco. If you don't do that, in the big picture of what it means, possibly, potentially could mean to the 49ers, that's bananas. That's insane. Brock Purdy was an incredible story. An incredible story. Trey Lance, in his entire life, has played less than 60 games. Do you want, even if Tom Brady has the potential to get hurt because the line isn't upgraded, and Ray, you're absolutely right. That offensive line, I said all the last nine games, hey, man, if they can keep Purdy clean, he'll be just fine. Purdy's not clean. Purdy's out of the game. Shoot, he might be out for 6 to 12 months. If you don't want Tom Brady as your leader with this particular team, it, even just in the quarterback room, if he's injured, he's so smart. I cannot believe that anybody would choose that. And that's not me being sentimental. I don't know what you guys think about the Niners. I've heard they've stockpiled a zillion draft picks. Maybe not this year.
No, they've got them this year. They got 13 picks.
Well, my point being, they've done an incredible job of drafting, not necessarily first-round picks, but, you know, that third, fourth, fifth round. Go get some more surplus of linemen. They have to upgrade there, but everywhere else, they're supposed to be the best defense. They might have been exposed a little bit. But I just love the idea of him being that mentor to perhaps this next quarterback. But you cannot go into the season with a dude that just had UCL and maybe Tommy John thinking that's your first guy. And Trey Lance has showed us he can't stay on the field. Anyway, I will bet you, Mr. Ratto, a bottle of Dariush, that my brother, August 3rd birthday, Tom Brady, is on the team. I'll deliver that personally to you wherever you ask for it. Tom Brady's going to be a Niner, and he should be.
By the way, August 3rd, also the birthday of my son. So there you go. I mean, it would just be coming full circle.
So in other words, when I don't get the bottle, I can assume that you stole it.
The kid got it. Absolutely, yeah. We're going to celebrate Jack's third birthday. Next one will be four, yeah.
Yeah, time sure flies when you can't remember who your kids are. All that makes sense in the abstract. But the question I would have is, why, if Kyle Shanahan wasn't keen on Tom Brady at 42, is he all of a sudden incredibly keen on him at 46? That's the one I can't get around. All the other things you can negotiate one way or the other. But when Brady was 4 years younger, Shanahan said, nah, I think we're good.
How many Super Bowls since that decision? I mean, maybe that enough alone is enough to make Kyle say, well, I probably got that decision wrong the last time I had an opportunity to add him, didn't, passed where he ended up. They won a Super Bowl. We haven't. Don't want to make that same mistake twice.
Maybe. But I'd need an answer to that question, and I'd also need an answer to the question, when does Brock Purdy come back healthy?
Well,
if it's 6 months, I'm saying you pass on Brady again and you just go, this is my guy, but I'm going to get a better backup. And I'm going to get a better backup after that.
Dr. Pandia was on today with Willard and Dibbs, and he knows more about doctoring than you and I ever could or would. And here's what he had to say about the Brock Purdy timeline as he knows it.
For most NFL quarterbacks, I mean, there's a minimum of them. Most of them don't get surgery, but obviously he potentially may go down the surgery route. But I think that if he's going to get something done, most likely it would be a repair, which is similar to what Nick Mullins had. And the general timeline for that is 5 to 6 months in terms of getting back to play. Most people who get that done are throwing at 3 months. So assuming he gets it done relatively soon, he'd have him throwing May or June, and then he'd pretty much be ready to go at the beginning of the training camp. The only kind of wrench in that would be if he undergoes a full reconstruction, which would be rare for someone his age, and that would be a 9 to 12 month recovery. So my gut feeling, obviously things can change based on what they see on the MRI, what they see during surgery, but that he'd get the repair and be back for training camp unless there's some major damage to the ligament, which you really only see in pitchers because they have so much degeneration in that ligament. Usually for a one-time event, you wouldn't expect that much kind of damage to the ligament from one traumatic injury.
Thank you, Doc. Sounds like best case scenario, back in 6 months, pick up where you left off, and if that does indeed happen, and he really is the prince who has been promised, yeah, everything's fine then. Don't need Tom Brady. Then that's great. That's congratulations. You have the single greatest value in the history of the position ever found in the NFL draft. Mazel tov.
Okay. Well, but the Brady debate requires, in my mind, that he not be available for the start of the year, and maybe if it's a year, not be available at all. So if we're going to continue the Brady debate, then it becomes, to me, a question of math and a question of power. And Kyle Shanahan has enough, I believe, pride in his ability to run an offense that that could be a sticking point. It might have been a sticking point last time.
It's time to be humbled. I think that the league has humbled that level of pride to the point where he must be saying to himself, I don't care anymore. I really don't care who gets the credit here. We just want to win.
It's not about credit. It's about the ability to be the guy who decides what gets run on third and two. And I don't know of any great coach ever who has abrogated that at any point and succeeded with it. That's the thing. Every time you've had a quarterback in the last 40 years calling his own plays, it's because the coach in general just said, do what you want.
Do you think, honestly, Andy Reid sends a play into Patrick Mahomes that Mahomes changes on third and two, and there is any level of resentment?
No, but I don't think he changes that many plays. I think he improvises off those plays.
How about this? This is a great way to find out, Kyle, how good you really are, because if you're sending in plays to the greatest quarterback of all time, and he's just in there vetoing them for his own ideas and having more success, how are you going to argue with that? Who's going to go into the media and be like, yeah, man, I really sent in 9 plays to Tom. He changed 8 of them. They all went for first downs. I'm angry.
And if they don't go for first downs, what do you have?
Then
you've got a problem.
No, then you have the Bruce Arians in that first year with Tom Brady just saying, hey, he and I need a better partnership here. And, you know, I'm sending in plays that should work a little bit better. And Tom was a big boy. He wasn't scarred or scared of the criticism that Bruce Arians offered in any sort of media setting. It wasn't a fracturing of a relationship. And by the way, everybody, welcome real quickly to your 4 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on Twitch, YouTube, and the free Odyssey app. Damn well better be free. I think you may underestimate Kyle Shanahan's requirement of being able to control his surroundings.
Here's your deal. Here's the thing.
I'm not saying you're wrong. He might just say, go ahead, do what you want. That doesn't strike me as the Kyle Shanahan we've come to know and love. Or know and hate, depending on your opinion. I think he's a guy who believes that his offensive system is perfectly fine as it is, and he's got the numbers to prove it. Every time he's had a healthy representative team, they've been in the top 5 in offense. So I don't think that's when he's going to
prevent that. Does this prevent that?
I don't know.
I think it's a
thing that would need to get addressed between two very headstrong guys. And I think that would have to be sorted out almost down to like the atomic level where, you know, look, if it's 3rd and 3 and I want this run, you're going to run it. Or if it's 3rd and 3 and I see something I don't like, you have to get out of my way. They have to work that out ahead of time. And they have to work that out ahead of time to the point where they're working it out before they agree that they're going to work together.
I think it just needs to be as granular a conversation as you want it to get to. Or it's as simple as this. Who cares? Who cares how we win? If it's that much to you, Kyle, where you'd rather fail with the plays you believe in than succeed with the corrections Brady might make, well, then we're all banging our heads against the wall pretending that a Super Bowl is the priority in the first place. Who cares who gets the credit at this point? However, Kyle was wired, it doesn't matter anymore. Here's the new wiring. Win the Super Bowl, come hell or high water in 2023, year of our Lord. That's it. Who cares who gets the credit? Who cares
how it happens? It's not about the credit. I'm going to say it again. It's about who believes they know more about the offense than the other guy.
That's credit.
It's not credit.
Well, whatever
it's
you want to
control.
Call it.
No, it's control of what gets
credit.
Done. No, control is not credit.
Then whatever you want to say, what needs to be solved, solve that. I don't care what your issues
are. All right, and my point is, Kyle Shanahan is not a guy who's failed with this offense. The offense has been...
What's the goal? Win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He hasn't done that. That's failing. That's it. Now, don't get me wrong. We have learned... the gears turn out a very good product. There is no debating that Kyle knows what he wants to do and has done it quite well. The only ask left, the only positive litmus test that needs to come in from the pH balance is, did you win the Super Bowl? Because anything that says, no, we didn't win the Super Bowl, means that didn't work out the way it was supposed to if you think this team is as good as I think it is. That, who cares? Control, power, prestige, veto. What did Redline, whatever you want to call it. I don't care.
You can decide that you don't care. The question I have is, do they care? Because I think they both do. And I also think we're still avoiding what is really the elephant in the room, which is fixing an offensive line that is great at run blocking and only average at pass blocking.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.